Soviet purges, who was spared. The chilling silence that descended upon the Soviet Union during the Stalinist era was punctuated by the crackle of fear and the rumble of unseen accusations. The Great Purge, a period stretching roughly from 1936 to 1938, saw millions of Soviet citizens, from peasants to high-ranking military officials, ensnared in a brutal campaign of repression orchestrated by Joseph Stalin. The question that haunted many was not if they would be targeted, but when, and more importantly, why? Yet, amidst this terrifying maelstrom, a select few managed to navigate the treacherous currents of political survival. Who were these individuals, and what shielded them from the ever-watchful eye of the state? The shadow of the state. Under Stalin's rule, loyalty was a fragile commodity, constantly tested and often found wanting. The purges aimed to eliminate any perceived threats to Stalin's absolute power, targeting not only political opponents, but also those deemed insufficiently committed to the Soviet ideal. The NKVD, the Soviet secret police, became an omnipresent force, its agents lurking in every corner, gathering intelligence, fabricating confessions, and orchestrating arrests. Navigating the minefield, criteria for survival. While the purges seemed indiscriminate in their ferocity, certain factors could, and sometimes did, offer a degree of protection. These were not guarantees, but rather conditional lifelines in a sea of probable death. 1. Indispensability and specialized skills. In a state rapidly industrializing and facing external threats, certain individuals possessed skills that were deemed too valuable to lose. This was particularly true for engineers, scientists, and skilled laborers crucial for military production or major infrastructure projects. For instance, the Shakti trial in 1928, though predating the main purge, already showed a pattern of targeting engineers, but many were later rehabilitated due to their technical expertise. During the height of the purges, skilled technical personnel, especially those involved in aviation and armaments, were often spared or even brought back from labor camps if their skills were urgently needed. 2. Strategic political maneuvering and patronage. Survival often depended on having powerful patrons within the Communist Party. Those who could align themselves with factions that temporarily held Stalin's favor or whose patrons were themselves indispensable might find a shield. However, this was a perilous game. A patron's fall from grace could easily drag their protégés down with them. Figures like Vyacheslav Molotov, known for his unwavering loyalty to Stalin and his role in carrying out decrees, remained largely untouched due to their political utility. 3. Low political profile and obscurity. The purges heavily targeted prominent figures, military leaders, old Bolsheviks, intellectuals, and artists. Those who remained relatively unknown, holding less influential positions, or who had successfully blended into the background, were less likely to attract the NKVD's attention. A quiet life, free from political ambition or public dissent, could sometimes be the best armor. 4. Nationality and ethnic considerations. While not a consistent rule, certain ethnic groups were disproportionately targeted. For example, the national operations of the NKVD led to the mass arrests and executions of Poles, Germans, Finns, and others. Conversely, individuals from certain ethnic groups who were seen as more reliably loyal, or whose national groups were not viewed as a collective threat, might have faced fewer risks. However, this was highly dependent on the prevailing political climate and Stalin's shifting perceptions of national groups. 5. Military necessity and the Red Army. The purges hit the Red Army particularly hard, decimating its officer corps. However, some commanders, especially those with a proven track record of success and who were seen as vital for national defense, might have been spared. Mikhail Tukhachevsky, a brilliant military theorist, was ultimately executed, demonstrating that even the most capable could fall. Yet, in the lead-up to World War II, as the threat from Nazi Germany loomed larger, Stalin recognized the dire need for experienced military leadership. Some officers who had been purged were posthumously or retroactively rehabilitated and reinstated, a stark testament to the purge's self-defeating nature. The case of the spared. Consider the fate of Andrei Zhdanov, a prominent Bolshevik and Stalin's cultural apparatchik. While his influence waxed and waned, his ideological rigidity and his role in promoting Stalinist culture often placed him in a position of trust. His survival was largely due to his perceived ideological purity and his willingness to adapt his views to Stalin's directives. Unlike figures like Nikolai Bukharin, who engaged in independent thought, Zhdanov embodied the obedient apparatchik. Another example can be found in the scientific community. Pyotr Kapitsa, a Nobel Prize-winning physicist, had lived and worked in Britain before returning to the Soviet Union. While he faced periods of house arrest and restrictions after criticizing Soviet policy, his scientific genius and the international recognition he received likely played a role in his eventual survival. His work on superfluidity was critical, and the state was unwilling to completely discard such a valuable asset. The unseen lottery. Ultimately, survival during the Stalinist purges was a complex interplay of indispensable skills, political acumen, sheer luck, and the ever-shifting, often arbitrary, dictates of Joseph Stalin. The criteria for being spared were not codified laws, but rather a fluid set of circumstances that could change overnight. The terror of the era lay not only in the brutality of the executions, but also in the profound uncertainty that permeated every aspect of Soviet life, leaving millions to wonder if their name would be next on the invisible list.